Metu Netter, Volume 5, Keys to Health and Longevity, Ra Un Nefer Amen. Chapter 5, Meditation, Hypnosis, and the Mind-Body Connection. Meditation, the mind-body connection. In order to fully understand the purpose and methods of meditation, it is necessary to understand its mind-body dimension. For most people, meditation is a purely mental task. This is the reason why the majority of people that have engaged in its practice have failed to attain the benefits, let alone the marvels that professional yogis and Zen monks have achieved. The meditation state in the cortex. Let's begin by taking note of the meditation state in relationship to the brain. In the state of meditation, the cerebral cortex experiences a higher than normal wakefulness. The result is greater clarity of perception, better thinking, and better control by the cortex over the animal brains. As a result, better health is achieved. We must note, however, that the higher state of wakefulness is different from the normal waking state. When we are in the normal waking state, the brain's energy is moving at around 15 to 23 cycles per second, or hertz, beta waves. During meditation, when properly done, the brain waves slow down to around 7 to 14 waves per second. This is the alpha state that is entered at the point where we are about to fall asleep. A part of the brain goes asleep while the cortex wakefulness is increased. If this were not the case, you could achieve enlightenment from a heavy dose of caffeine. How then is the state attained? It is very important for you to realize that what I have just described in this meditation state, as opposed to meditation itself. There is another form of meditation in which the cortex is inhibited instead of awakened. The trance state that is achieved is not that of the meditation state per se, even though most authors do not make the distinction. Breathing, the essence of meditation. Breathing in a special way is the essence of meditation in all spiritual practices. The most important practice in yoga is the pranayama, breath control or restraint. This message was oversimplifying all things great. As the breath goes, so does the mind, is a major axiom in yoga. Meditation practice is carried out then by breathing in a special manner. The vagus nerve and the key to the power of meditation. The vagus is the most important of the cranial nerves. It arises from the brainstem, passes through the base of the skull, and branches down to connect with the heart, lungs, and digestive organs. An area on it located around the navel has attracted a great deal of attention in the mediation systems of the East. The Japanese call it the hara and the tandon. The Chinese call it the tantian, and the Hindu, the manupura chakra. When pressure is applied to this part of the body through deep abdominal breathing, energy is sent up to the hypothalamus, which becomes aroused and relays the energy to the cerebral cortex, which in turn becomes aroused. While the slow and rhythmic breathing slows down the brain waves to the alpha state, which is characterized by deep relaxation of the body and a quieting of the sympathetic division of the hypothalamus. The energy aroused by the pressure on the vagus nerve at the navel arouses the cerebral cortex, especially the right hemisphere and the frontal lobe, to a higher level of wakefulness. It is thus that the condition for reprogramming the animal brain stress reaction through mediation is established. This is the principle behind the yogic meditation techniques. The Dhumo or Gotumo breathing practices of Tibetan yogis and the Zazen meditation system of the Japanese Zen tradition. The importance of waking up the cerebral cortex to a high degree can be appreciated from the fact that in all emotional states, the animal brain dominates because its arousal stress is accompanied by the inhibition of the cerebral cortex. This is why it fails to do the most important function for which it was designed by nature, control of the mammalian brain. We will get the opportunity to experience this phenomena in Chapter 10, where the mediation techniques will be applied. A fully awakened cerebral cortex is what has been referred to as the expansion of consciousness, enlightenment, the awakening, the open eye, liberation, and so on. Hypnotherapy and psychocosmotic medicine. I have included a section on hypnotherapy for three reasons. For one, it is a well-documented and scientifically proven method of healing and other behavioral corrections through mind over matter. It is very important for the reader to know that mind over matter healing is not just a religious faith practice. Our ill-founded skepticism and doubts will do much to retard the progress of the work that will be prescribed in the later part of this book. Hypnotherapy is also the most successful psychocosmotic medical procedure. The second reason is to expand the horizon of this very valuable technique. And the third reason is to show that the system taught in this book is not hypnotherapy as some of my critics allege, whereas hypnosis depends on the reduction of the wakefulness of the cortex of the hypnotized subject. Meditation properly conducted increases its wakefulness. To gain insight into hypnotherapy, let's take a look at a few sessions. Quote, Sine Meku is suffering from a case of tennis elbow that has not responded to medical treatment, anti-inflammatories, acupuncture, and natural supplements, and therefore went to try hypnotherapy. The hypnotherapist led him into the trance state, in which state she suggested that he should imagine that with each breath he would feel his elbow become pleasantly warmer. Senekmahu was successful in feeling strong, pleasant warmth in his elbow from this simple procedure. After a few sessions in which the procedure was repeated, his elbow was completely healed. Let's analyze the transaction. First of all, the hypnotherapist did not hypnotize the client, as there is no such reality. The trance state that hypnosis is aiming to induce is the same that is arrived at through drugs, some forms of meditation, strong emotional experiences, and is the same as the runner's high, samadhi, and so on. Hypnosis, a form of sleep, is a misnomer. It is just a trance, a natural state that we all go into several times a day to process information and make changes in our lives. It is the cloud that the space cadet zones out to. It is the state of suspense. It is also takes the form of cessation of thoughts that is characteristic but not limited to the state of shock and so on. It is where professors go to when they become absent-minded and so on. Since it is a natural state that we enter in, a good hypnosis is well schooled in the art of helping people get into that state. We all do it without even knowing that we are in trance, let alone how to get there. Trance is a state in which learning and behavioral changes are optimized. One good effort to learn in trance is worth 100 repetitions of a lesson. It is also the state in which thoughts can best take possession of the life force to guide it to manifest psychological events. The hypnotherapist suggests to the client that he would feel pleasant warmth, which would increase with each breath. It happened as is the case with most sessions that are conducted by a skilled hypnotherapist. What we have here is an event in which a person is making the effort to mentally recall the sensation of warmth, and it happens. The person has rendered conscious a bodily function that is the domain of the unconscious. And the person is not a Siddha yogi or Zen monk. This was easily facilitated by trance, which allows consciousness and the will access to unconscious, the spirit. Healing took place without a suggestion that the person's elbow would heal. Instead, he was told to imagine feeling warmth in the elbow. By inducing warmth in the ill elbow for many minutes, the blood flow to the elbow was vastly improved, bringing about healing. What could be wrong with this approach? In this example, it was known that the pain in the elbow was caused by repeated trauma from playing tennis. Suppose that the problem is a chronic troublesome headache. Using this procedure would lead to severe problems if the cause of the headache were an undetected cancerous tumor. The hypnotherapy would shut off the pain, which is an alarm for illness, and the patient would not know to seek help. In applying this healing technique, it is necessary to know the underlying cause of the symptoms. Let's look at another example of the symptomatic application of hypnotherapy. The pain of cancer can get so bad that the amount of morphine that has been used to deal with it is very damaging to the patient. We are here faced with the choice between two evils: the damaging effect of the stressful reaction to extreme pain, which can be fatal to the patient, and the damage caused by too much morphine, which can also be indirectly fatal. Yes, the direct trigger of death in many cancer patients is the stressful reaction to the physical pain and or brain chemical imbalances caused by too much morphine. Many patients facing this dilemma have been helped with hypnotherapy. The patient is placed in trance in order to establish the connection between conscious voluntary thinking and the unconscious, the spirit, the mind. If in the waking state I were to try to eliminate or reduce pain by thinking that it will, nothing will happen. If I thought the same thoughts in the state trance induced by hypnosis or meditation or drugs, shock, absent-mindedness, etc., the pain will in most cases be eliminated or reduced. This technique has saved many soldiers on the battlefield by medics trained in hypnotherapy. The medics take advantage of the trance that is induced by the shock of severe injury or trauma, and thus seeds the patient with the information that will guide his life force and brain to eliminate the physical and emotional pain and fear, which greatly enhances the chances for survival. Note that fear in this case, in all cases, reduces survival ability. There's another type of application for hypnotherapy. It is healing through psychological readjustment. Man's consciousness alternates on a daily basis through three stages: waking, trance, and dreaming. Trance is a state between waking and dreaming, waking and dreaming, and thus partakes in the key attributes of both stages. In the waking state, we have voluntary control, but we can direct our thinking, but we do not have direct access to the spirit to alter psychological or physiological or psychological processes during the dream state. Changes in these processes occur at their greatest rate since the will is at rest then. In the trance state, we are able to enter the dream state and at the same time maintain some degree of voluntary control and connection to the outside world. In this way, preferably with the aid of a hypnotherapist or guru or hierophant master initiator, we can consciously direct or cooperate with the direction of the physiological and psychological processes of the spirit through words and imagery. An external guide is needed in hypnotherapy because the cerebral cortex has been inhibited by the hypnotic procedure. The hypnotherapist has a hunch through preliminary discussions with a 31-year-old patient that the cause of her infertility, frigidity, and a host of emotional disorders around her menaces might be due to sexual abuse that she was subjected to as a young girl. I say a hunch for a simple reason that although hypnotherapists do their work in the Cartesian linear framework that attempts to assign a direct cause to an effect, they do not have an established set of illness causations. So the therapist helps the patient into trance, in which the state she reveals the experience of rape when she was 8 years of age. Since the reliving of the past experience is actually being experienced as presently happening to an 8-year-old, even though the patient is 31, the patient reacts with all the intellectual and emotional immaturity of an 8-year-old. At this point, two things can happen. The experience can be so traumatic that the session and the therapy has to be abandoned, with the patient possibly being worse off, or the patient can weather the emotional reaction and learn with the assistance of the hypnotherapist to associate more mature ideas to the experience. Once the immature toxic ideas that are associated with the memory of the event, even if suppressed, healing will take place. Even if the sexual abuse was not the direct cause of the infertility, the removal of the chronic negative emotions surrounding the rape will contribute to healing that will take place. But if there are other negative memories and present negativities in the person's life, these will be untouched as the hypnotherapist forced the patient's attention on a specific set of beliefs and symptoms. Healing of some disorders will take place, yet the person will not become healthy. An illness will be healed and not the whole person. Here ends the reading on page 56.